Raising children is the best way to find out one's weaknesses. Perhaps you thought you were a fairly good citizen, you always thought of others when taking turns at the post office, and you never took more than your portion of ice cream at the birthday party. But having children seems to expose the lazy and selfish parts of ourselves. That's why we need the help from others who've been there too and can help us navigate through the cultural sludge and learn to see our work as an act of worship. We truly can learn to love the work that must be done. I'm pleased to share with you my interview with homemaking mentor Misty Winkler. She recently released her spectacular book, Simplified Organization, where she helps us understand that the work we have to do is truly good work and that we can learn to love it. This interview and Misty's book wrap up our series on, however imperfectly, about routines that bless. You will see that Misty has also needed to work on her habits to weave peace and blessing into her home, and we are confident that you can do the same in yours. Enjoy and be encouraged. Today, we are joined by Misty Winkler. Misty is the owner of Simply Convivial, and she's also a Scholae sister. And I asked her to come on because she is releasing her book, Simplified Organization, this month. And I have been waiting for this book for years to be at my bedside so that I can underline, highlight, and basically dog ear the whole thing, just because the work that Misty does helps us as homemakers really value the work that we're doing in the home and helps us shift the attitude that the culture tries to tell us about how, you know, if we could just do everything faster, then we could get to the important work. But Misty's book and her work helps us internalize the truth that God shares with us. So, Misty, thank you so much for coming on. And I have so many questions for you, but let's just start with you and your family. Can you just tell us a little bit about your homeschool? How many kids are you homeschooling? I think you have some graduates too.
I do, yes. So big life stage changing times. So my husband and I were both homeschooled ourselves. We're both homeschool graduates. And we have five kids and we live in Moscow, Idaho. And we have two graduates and three still at home that we're homeschooling still. So two high schoolers and a middle schooler.
Okay.
At home.
Okay. Yeah. So just for comparison, I think your youngest might be as old as my oldest. How old is your youngest?
He just turned 11.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I've got one a little bit. My oldest is 14. So your youngest, okay. Still pretty young. Okay. So, but just started middle school, I guess, this year.
Yeah. Sixth grade. I don't know. I think that, yeah.
Right. Ish. Who knows? I know. Yeah.
My oldest son just got married this last summer. So.
And you are very busy. So if we just look at you on the internet, we think that you're spending all your time creating content and sharing about your life. But it sounds like you also are homeschooling your children and cleaning toilets.
Yeah, that still does have to happen.
So I think you share a lot of how you do get so much done in Simply Convivial, which is your membership site. And there's also a lot going on over at Scully Sisters. But I think you just have a really great pulse on what we as moms are facing when it comes to home management. And you've done such a great job of pulling from, as I was reading through your book, I was like, oh, there's some Aristotle in here. Here's some Socrates. And then also just that real, just normal, modern, this is hard. Like, we actually have to do the work. So I would love to hear a little bit about what you're seeing is happening with moms, and then just kind of how we can reorient our attitudes a little bit toward homemaking.
Yeah. So I always wanted to be a wife and mom when I was growing up. I was homeschooled. I was the oldest of seven. And so, well, being a wife and mom is what I want to be. I got married at 19. So it was like right on target. Like, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. And I already could cook. I'd been helping with chores a lot. My mom had twins when I was 11. So I helped out a lot. I changed a lot of diapers. I figured I was probably set. I was going to be ready. I was going to rock this thing. I was going to nail it. And I was ready to just jump in, get some systems in place, and totally nail the homemaking motherhood thing. And then I didn't.
What happened?
Well,
you're so set up. I was in public school, surely.
I know. I didn't have any of the excuses people have. And it was still hard. But what I came to realize is that even in my desire to do a good job, I actually despised the work, really. It came down to a bad attitude about doing the housework. It was something, okay, it was my job to do, but all my systems were attempts at really trying to get out of doing the work at all. But I thought that if I had the right system, then it wouldn't require effort on my part or attention. I could read all the books I wanted to read or do all the things I wanted to do. And the management cleaning side of things would basically go away if it was just set up right. And it
just doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. And things just kind of kept devolving and getting worse and worse over the years because I was trying to put in as little effort as possible and still survive. Things got pretty bad.
Yeah.
And the turning point wasn't a system or a new chore chart, a new plan. I was great at making new plans. But the turnaround for me was a long drawn out process of changing my attitude about the work itself and appreciating it for what it was. And there were there was lots of scripture that convicted me. And then it felt like every conversation I had with anyone for a time came back to house cleaning or home management or something. It was like I couldn't escape it. So I was still in my, I was like in my late 20s when God was really working on me and with this. And then Cindy Rollins, I was reading her blog online and following her, and she mentioned a line of poetry that's T.S. Eliot, and it's longer, but the really convicting part was, dreaming of systems so perfect that no one will need to be good. And then I realized, like, oh, actually, that's been me all these years. I've been plotting out the systems so that I won't have to be good. And that's right. Why this is not working.
Right. Yeah. In your book and also on your blog, I noticed there's this sense of, you're not just telling me, like, here's what you should do. It's out of a space of, I've really tried hard to figure this out because this is not easy for me either.
Yeah.
So because this was hard, and I just really relate to what you've shared as far as just that attitude. And I think part of that attitude comes from our fallen nature and also just our culture telling us that, you know, there's certain things that you need to be doing that are actually more important. Yes. And nobody's valuing the care of the work at home. And of course, we've decided to stay home. We've decided to homeschool the kids. I really found this in my own home, is that my children were a mirror of my attitude about the household work.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, why are we like this upset about cleaning up after dinner? This mm-hmm. should not, like, this is just a normal part of human existence. So I just love the things that you've brought in with your book. And then also in your courses, you help walk us through those heart issues. One of them, and I'm just going to look through here on your table of contents of the book, is perfectionism.
Yeah.
And of course, being overwhelmed, but I would love to hear a little bit about how we handle perfectionism, because we also, just in our homeschooling, we do this, but in our homemaking, we do this too, where it's like, I'm not going to do it if I can't do it perfectly. Or yeah. So there's just like, we never start.
Yes.
But yeah, just how do we even confront that, the perfectionism and sometimes I think we don't even know that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. That was me for a long time. I thought that the people who struggle with perfectionism are the people who are like quilting and actually keeping a clean house because they're, you know, working so hard and being so careful to do it perfectly. Right. And then what they're doing is more perfect than what I'm doing.
Right.
And so because that was my picture of what perfectionism looked like, it was maybe people being stressed out and maybe doing not very much so that everything they did was just so. I thought that was perfectionism, and it is a kind of perfectionism, but there's another kind of perfectionism. That struggle can come out by being super controlling or by giving up, basically. Hmm. And that was the trap that I had fallen into in my mid-20s, mm-hmm. was that because my systems were not working out and did not actually do the work for me, they didn't keep things running smoothly without me. Therefore, I just kind of gave up. And I spent a while thinking that my planning and my scheming should be about minimizing the amount of effort that I put in. And if I can just keep things going with minimal effort, why would I put more effort or time or attention into it? Which was showing an that I didn't value the work, actually, even though it was the work I had chosen. And on paper or by words, I would say, this is the most important work that a mom can be doing. But by my actual time, attention, and affections, I hated it.
So where was the shift? How did you, like, what, because I, or how do you, honestly, in your courses, you walk us through that. So
yeah.
How do we get out of that?
Well, it starts by recognizing what's really going on. And so when I realized that I wasn't putting forth effort because I didn't want to mess up, like I wanted it to be perfect. And I wanted anything that I did, that I put time and attention into, to be amazing and impressive. And housework was never something that was going to be very impressive. Even when it's done, it's the kind of thing people just take for granted.
Like dusting.
Right. No one's like, you are an amazing duster.
No, they just see the dust and go, oh, that's gross.
They only notice if you don't do it. So my perfectionism was preventing me from even getting started. And then when I did decide to take things in hand, I went all out, like spent the whole day doing like a frenzied clean.
Yeah.
And.
Which is not sustainable.
It's not. Yeah. You can't do that every day. And part of the point is, you know, doing it so well that you won't have to do it again.
Right. And then, so then somebody
takes the day off. And that is the boom and bust cycle.
Yeah.
And so the boom and bust cycle is a sign of perfectionism, where you want your effort to have a real visible payoff.
Yeah.
Which really isn't possible until everything devolves to the point where the mess is terrible. So that when you clean it, then people notice.
Right.
And there isn't that kind of payoff or just visible result when you are keeping a steady just heartbeat of the home going, where things are being maintained regularly. It's not then noticeable. And so you don't get that kind of affirmation or just the kind of effect that perfectionism wants, an end result that looks impressive.
Well, I think you hit the heart of it, is that it has to do with what our aim is. What is our goal?
Right.
In your book, you mention pursuing hospitality, that this idea that we want to be hospitable to our husband, our children, that we want to be able to welcome people into our home, and we want everyone to live well. It's not just this survival mode that we're trying to, I don't know. I just feel it from the culture. It's like, oh, honey, it's okay. You don't have to do all of that. You know, go lay down. And it's like, but I want more than that. I want to take pride in the work that I do, but also I don't want to have to think about it all the time. I think the other thing that I noticed about your book is, if we understand, because I know you've read Charlotte Mason's, some of her books, and she talks about the importance of habit training.
Yeah.
And the importance of habit, and how as we get into these habits, they actually become, you're not thinking about them. Like, you're getting dressed in the morning, you're eating food. Like, we're not laboring over these decisions. And you mentioned in your book that, you know, your house is a mess. You did the cleaning frenzy, and then you had to decide what you guys were going to eat for dinner. Like, to me, that sounds so stressful. Now that I have a system in order and I understand how much freedom it gives me and my family, if we all know what we're going to eat for dinner. And I wanted to mention this. So you taught me how to use a calendar. I did not know. I think you and I have a similar personality type, but I do love organization. I do love some system books.
I mean, I do too.
But I just did not understand. And it's like, we don't know if we're not taught. And if we have to learn everything ourselves, it just takes longer. Like you're saying, it takes 10 years before you start figuring out what to do. And what you've provided with, you've got Work Your Plan, which is so helpful. But then you've got also the Mom's Weekly Review that starts in December. Where can you explain a little bit about that? Because I started doing a weekly review and now I can't live without it. And I've even started doing like an evening review, you know, just nice. we're reviewing and planning. But it's not, again, I think that the thought within our culture is that a person who is super OCD or really on it is going to do these practices. And what I was telling a friend of mine is that this is not what's natural to me, but I need it to thrive. I have 7 children and I'm trying to organize them and not yell at everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And these are tools that allow us to live together in harmony. It's not to do that. I don't know. It's not about me and a kingdom I'm trying to build, right?
Right.
So yeah, could you tell us a little bit about your Mom's Weekly Review that you've got starting in December?
Yeah, I think the shift that I had to make and that I try to help other ladies make is that it really isn't about the tool, you know, the habit, the calendar, the practice, like a weekly review alone that makes the big difference. Like if I just find the secret, then right. It's all going to be great.
Yeah.
But it is about shifting our mindset about the work and about our job and about the purpose of it all and the nature of it all. And when our attitude and our mental picture, our mental story about what's actually going on shifts, then we're able to use all the tools and the practices properly. And they aren't the thing in themselves that's doing the work. They're just the ways that we do the work and that we invest in our people and the way that we're effective in our home. And I think a big struggle for all of us moms is that we keep a lot in our head. Mm. Every time we look around the house, we see the things that we could be doing or we should be doing, or it reminds us of something. And so our mind is always, always spinning.
Right.
So a lot of the practices come down to just taking pieces out of the spin cycle in mm-hmm. your brain mm-hmm. so that it's not overstuffed and you can kind of calm the mental noise mm-hmm. so that you can see what's really going on and make some decisions ahead of time and be prepared. And it isn't about control where we're deciding how the future is going to happen. It's about preparing ourselves for dealing with whatever might happen.
Right.
And so the weekly review, the Mom's Weekly Review is a baby step process to take 15 to 30 minutes, and it starts with 15 minutes and works up to 30 or 45, depending on what you want to do during your weekly review. But the weekly review I learned from David Allen in Getting Things Done. And he says, take 2 hours. And I'm like, no one's doing that.
No one has that kind of time.
2 hours to close. So 15 minutes to just look at the calendar and make what I call notes to self. I found that's a great way to communicate that this is not an elaborate plan. It's not about getting everything in just the right form or just the right format mm-hmm. so that it works. It's just taking a few minutes to figure out where you're at, figure out what's coming and what you can do to take a few steps to be mm-hmm. ready for it.
Right.
And that's enough to really shift your interactions with your life and your people and become more and more effective where you're at.
Yeah. One of the things too that I found that I struggle with is the idea that the tasks are more important than the people.
Yeah.
This utilitarian mindset of let's get this stuff done. I mean, I see it in my homeschool, you know, we're not able to enjoy, you know, I'm reading all these books and it's like, nobody enjoyed it. Nobody listened. We weren't even able to just play with those ideas because, you know, then I'm on to the next thing and it's like, no, no, that's not why we're doing this. And I think that you have the Organize Your Attitude course that helps move us away from that, helps also just get to the root. And you're just asking a lot of questions and you're kind of giving us some roots for shifting our mindset. A lot of it's just mindset work, you know, because it's, if we think properly, then we will act properly. So I've really loved that. So let me see, are there anything else? So you've got your book coming out November. So when this releases, it'll already be out, the Simplified Organization. Can you tell us a little bit more about the book? I know we talked about it earlier.
I have my print proof copy here.
Ooh, how fun. I'm excited.
Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. And I love the size that it turned out. Like it's a real book, but it's not a tome.
Yeah. How many pages did it end up being?
It is 244.
Ooh, that's.
And there's plenty of. So there are steps. There are 6 steps. And that's like the middle part 2, section 2 of the book. But every step then gets its own page.
Okay.
So there's a baby step instruction and a checklist that goes with that all.
And did I hear there's a study guide coming out with it?
Yes. The study guide should be out in June of 24.
Okay. Oh, fun.
And that will help people do it like with a group.
With a group. A
bunch of friends together and just work through and have your own little personal accountability group.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm definitely putting that on the book club list. So that'll be good. Well, Misty, go ahead.
It does boil down to your mindset. And the first step in the book and in my courses is tell yourself a true story. And that's just an ongoing process. Sometimes we look for the quick fix, the piece of information, like then that's going to change everything once I learn the right thing or do the right thing. And housework or homeschooling is just the work that God is doing in us to sanctify us and grow us and make us more like him and give us opportunities to imitate him. Mm. And it's just always going to be ongoing growth. So it isn't about just finding the right fix that's going to make everything better from here forward. It's being willing to change and grow and go through that process.
So we are going to leave links down below for where you can find Misty, for her membership site, and then also the book. And there's also some awesome stuff going on over at Scholae Sisters. So check all those links out. Thank you so much for joining me, Misty. And I can't wait to get my hands on that hard copy book. All right. We'll see you next time.
Yes. Thank you so much, Joyce. It's been fun.
You bet.